Every time our athletes walk into this weight room, they're going to be pushed to the max.
Let's go!
The barbell hasn't changed in over 100 years. I can take a 25-pound plate, and we'll go out on the turf, and I'll have you hating life. We talk about straining your gut, pushing past that comfort level. I want a lot of energy.
What better breeding ground is there for being a success in life than the weight room?
Hey guys, welcome back to Iron Game Chalk Talk. I'm your host, Ron McKeefer, and this is episode number 245. I want to thank you guys for listening each week. Really appreciate those of you that like and share and comment. Just helps me continue to highlight the great coaches we have in the profession. Also want to thank our sponsors, and specifically Iron Grip, for bringing this episode to you for free. I only partner with companies that I believe in. Iron Grip has gone in every weight room that I've ever had, and just think the world of them as a company, as a product, but more importantly, as people. This week, joined by Ryan Johnson. Ryan and I have known each other for a long time, but you know, we really just got a chance to really hang out just recently in Nebraska. He's a strength conditioning coordinator at, how do you say it, Wayzata High School up in Minnesota, 2017 NSCA Strength Coach of the Year. Just done a fantastic job of building. I talk about it all the time, make the big time where you're at, and that's exactly what he's done. He's created an unbelievable opportunity for himself, and I think as coaches, that's often the case that we need to be doing. We need to make sure that we create a job that it's hard to ever leave. And he loves this community, loves his plays. Had a fantastic presentation up in Nebraska, and just excited to have you on the show, man.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much. It's an honor.
Right, you told a story up there, and I always ask the journey question, but I mean, for the most part, you've been at the high school. You had we'll get into the firefighter experience a little bit later as well, but you know, you told a story about your dad going as a coach. I mean, you're a coach's kid. Your dad had gone and had an interaction that kind of set you down the path that you're currently on. Why don't you go into that story a little bit and kind of a little bit about how that's led to your current position?
Yeah, absolutely. Both my parents are retired teachers. My dad was a coach as well. And my dad bought me my first weight set, and he bought that for me. It was a Christmas present. And the year that he bought it for me was the year that, as an assistant football coach, he was getting tired of getting beat by this one particular community. They beat us every single year. And he called their staff up. He called their coaches up and said, hey, what is it that makes you guys tick? What is it? You know, you're constantly putting out good athletes, strong kids, big kids. What is it that you do? And they invited him over. They said, you can come check out, you know, our facility, our weight room, which in southwestern Minnesota, we didn't have a whole lot of big facilities.
Right.
And he went over there, met with their staff, and we had a weight room and we lifted weights, but they had a program. You know, they had a systematic program that they followed. And my dad went over and he picked up that, and they gave him everything, and he brought it back, and he instituted a program at my high school. And that really kind of got me going in two ways. One was physically, because that's when I started training. And the other was it really opened my eyes to, you know, seek out. If you want answers or you have questions, seek out. And the fact that that high school gave my dad that information, invited him over, and were so good to him. I've remembered it, and that's why my facility is always open here as well. You know, so it led down a lot of paths, and I'm really thankful that, you know, he went out and did that, my dad, and brought that back. And really, that I think I was about a freshman.
Yeah.
And strength and conditioning has been a part of my life ever since. That was a pretty big moment in my life.
That's I just had Rob Bell on the show not too long ago, and he had put out a book called Hinge Moments. And
yes,
something. And you know, I've told a story about that height, you know, walking the other direction when I was in elementary school, and that changed kind of my path. And it's just amazing the opportunity we have as coaches to have that kind of impact, you know, whether it be and that kind of ripple effect. You know, that high school coach at that other high school had no clue that that's going to lead to a career for you.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's just amazing. And it goes back to that adage of a coach can affect more people in 1 year than most people do in their whole life.
Yes.
I firmly believe that. And I think the other key element of that story that I really resonated with me is exactly what you said is that guy could have been, he could have been a jerk. He could have been said, hey, look, I just like beating you every year, so I'm not going to tell you.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. and you know, and the whole deal. But instead, I mean, a rising tide kind of raises all ships. And I think so many times, I mean, as coaches, we try to be this, you know, we have all the answers and kind of hold, you know, kind of close the doors. And it's, I mean, it's honestly, it's just not that complicated, is it? It's not.
You know, no, it's not. Simplicity is sometimes the greatest form of sophistication. We know that.
Exactly.
And in I always enjoy people coming to visit me because I'm always asking them questions and picking their brains because everybody brings something to the table. There's always an opportunity to learn. So it helps me out just as much.
I couldn't agree with you more. And I think the other thing too is the young coaches that are listening to this is don't be afraid to go out, go see, or go visit Orion, go visit, you know, some of these coaches that are your mentors and your the leaders of our profession, because the good ones like you and others are, they are open doors. They know that there's no secrets and it's proof's in the pudding and it's how you implement the program and have accountability and consistency. That really is the trick.
Absolutely. Never stop growing. That's, you know, that's the biggest thing I can say, you know, definitely.
Well, to that point, I mean, you know, growing is a big part of this profession. You got to, you know, you're going to make a million mistakes and you got to learn from them and you got to learn from other people's mistakes. But tell me what's been maybe the biggest mistake that you've made and how you learn from it.
Well, I've made a lot of mistakes, you know, down the road growing up and doing things. But in terms of the profession, I think probably the biggest mistake that I did, you know, I'll use Wayzata as an example, was I came in and just really tried to do too much. I tried to please everybody with sports-specific workouts. I was coming in early. I was staying late. I didn't really define the program as a program. I was just there at the beck and call for every coach. And, you know, that took a lot of time, and it took away from a lot of my family time. But I was young and growing in the profession and really wanted to make my mark here. So I, you know, I did anything that anybody wanted at any time, you know, and they loved it. And I was run ragged. But I think as I developed as a coach, I kind of learned some boundaries and learned some systems and said, here's what I can do for you. And here's what time I can, rather than just always be here, getting here at 6 a.m. and leaving at 7 p.m. That put a big strain on my family and on myself. You know, it really did. It did.
What was it in that? You know, what changed you then? I mean, obviously, when we have kids, when we get married, some of those, you know, that oftentimes changes us. But cause that was, I mean, for me, that was the same thing. I for 7 years in Southwood, I didn't take a single day of vacation.
Right, right.
I was like a badge of honor, you know. But what was it? What was it that? How could you have gone back and told young Ryan Johnson, you know, that to teach him that lesson sooner?
You know, looking back at it now, what I would definitely say to myself then or any other coach is that it's okay to set boundaries. It's okay to set systems. Don't try to please everybody on their schedule. Set schedules and work with people within these parameters. You know, you need to be approachable. You need to build relationships, but that's a two-way street. You know, right. I mean, the coaches definitely need to do that with yourself as well. And, you know, I think I'd like to go back to myself and say, just take some time. It's okay. You know, 20 years, it's not going to matter. You know, heck, half of our sport coaches rotate over every 5-6 years.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, if you're constantly trying to please coaches, it's a little bit easier, I think, in terms of setting these schedules, setting boundaries, working on systems, creating this stuff, and then saying, hey, here's how our facility and program runs. Now, what can we do work with you, rather than early on I was like, I'm here, what do you need, let's go.
Right.
You know, so, you know, I mean, and but part of that too, though, as you know, coach, is that it takes some time when you're first starting out to build your identity and to build your system and to build your programs. I had never run a facility before coming to Wayzata. You know, I'd worked with other facilities, but this was my first facility. And you know, so when you were mentioning earlier about going out and seeing other facilities, and as a young coach, don't worry, go out and talk to people. Go out and start kind of building a plan in your mind as you're talking to these people, what you would do if you ran a facility. You know, I never really had those conversations. I never talked to myself about what would you do. I saw the job, I worked hard, I interviewed, and I got it. And then it was a giant, oh man, what did I just get? You know, what did I just do? You know, so I think people that are out there, start working on your model and your brand, so to speak, so that when you do get your job, you have a plan.
Couldn't agree more. I always tell people that, you know, the job doesn't really start until you sit in the big chair, you know, and that's when it goes beyond X's and O's of sets and reps. It goes into, you know, managing time, people, and resources, and
correct,
you know, and getting people to buy into you and believe in you. And you know, when you're an assistant, you got all this time in the world, and it always upsets me as a head strength coach, because I mean, you want to go out there and you want to have fun, you want to joke around, and you want to go work out all day long and feel like your assistants are doing, but that's the time that they should be, like you said, creating that plan, and when they're going out and having those conversations, like, why do you schedule this way? Why do you, you know, who has priority in the weight room when you have 20 sports?
Exactly.
All those types of things. Ask those types of questions, because those are going to be the ones that are going to save you a lot of time down the road.
Without a doubt. I think so many times people are focused in on, hey, I'm a strength coach. Programming. What's your programming? How do you train this athlete? And you're right. You know, just as much as how do you train these athletes, when do you train them? How do you schedule?
Right.
Definitely.
Well, you know, so many of us as coaches, you know, we chase the logo, especially early in our career. You know, we want to go to the big time, whatever that is, you know, and you, I mean, I tell people all the time that if I had it to do all over again, I would have done, you know, I would have found a high school, I would have planted a flag, had one church, had one house, you know, and yep, sat there and, you know, built wealth that way. You know, I think that sometimes that would have been better. But, you know, I just like every coach, I wanted to be in the NFL. I wanted to be have the big logo on my chest. You've had plenty of opportunities to go on. I mean, you're the strength coach of the year. Even, you know, why high school? Why plant a flag there? And what's the big attraction?
Well, a couple of main things stand out. First and foremost, I'm a teacher. I love teaching. So you can teach, you know, pretty much anywhere at any level, but I find the high school setting is really my home. It really is. I love teaching and coaching. I love working with student athletes. I love the stability. You know, I mean, I'll be honest. It's I've got four kids, having a family. I live really close to the high school. Like you said, one church, one house. Scheduling now, not so much earlier, but now I've set schedules. I know what time I'm getting here, and I know what time I'm leaving every day.
Yeah.
And that's a huge thing. That is a huge thing to be able to do that. Financially, the high school I'm at, we're very stable. I've got a very stable income. I've got a good thing going here. We've built a program that people believe in and trust in. And I mean, we're from family to family. I mean, I really feel at home here, and I think I would feel at home at any high school that I spent this much time with. But I tell people all the time, if you love strength and conditioning, high school is a really good place to do it, because you're teaching all the time. You know, you're coaching all the time. And to see these kids grow from freshman year to their senior year, or even in our case with our youth, we bring these kids in fifth grade. It's fun to be able to build relationships with these kids and see their growth and go on, you know. Yeah,
that's awesome. I think, you know, I mean, you look at it and you look at all the opportunity, especially with athletes that go on and play. And I mean, that age group is the most formative years that you can develop great habits and coachability and all those types of things. And so there's such a tremendous opportunity to, like you said, have that lasting impact on somebody. More so than college and pro, for sure.
Definitely, because these kids at this age, this is when they're growing and developing and establishing patterns, routines. You know, this is really kind of where they're figuring out who they want to be in life, you know, basically. And so it's very impactful. It's a very impactful time to be a part of an athlete, student athlete's life.
Yeah. You know, when you said you've built it, that didn't happen overnight, and it didn't happen, you know, I mean, what you walked into is completely different than what you currently have, you know, in terms of facilities, in terms of support, in terms of the money, you know, the whole deal. A big part of that, being able to grow that, has been your summer program. You know, talk a little bit about your summer program, what it looks like now, and maybe how you work towards that.
Yeah. I've been given a lot of opportunities to speak and present and go out and talk to a lot of different places. And I think the more that I do this, that I look back on it, and one of the big things people ask me to talk about is building culture. And the more that I do this, the more that I realize that it was the creation and the building of our summer program that established the culture in our building. And what we're looking at right now is we average about 500 athletes a summer coming to our program. The only time we charge our student athletes at YZ is in the summer. So, you know, I think if we look at it, our average number of athletes is 500, and we've been doing this about 20 years, and our average fee is $100. You know, we're at 155 right now, but we started around 75. So we did the math in Nebraska. 20 years, 500 athletes, $100 a kid. We're looking at bringing in $1 million since we started this program.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's unreal. And all of that money is run through the athletic office. We pay our coaches out of that, and we purchase equipment for the facility. And then that funds my continuing ed and allows me to get out and go to a lot of clinics. So it's a huge machine. Now, it wasn't always that way. You know, yeah. I think the first summer I started, the year before, they had 35 kids, and they were charging them $25. My first summer, we rebooted the system and did everything. I think we had 75 kids, and we charged $75. So it was a process. It was a growth. I had to win over the coaches, the athletes, and probably the administrators, you know, the most. Mm. And slowly, you know, I think the growth in that first year really opened some eyes up that we could do it. And we went from 75 kids to 125 to 200 to 300 to 400. Our highest mark was 700. We had 700 athletes on campus one summer. And it was unreal. It was unreal. Yeah, it really was.
Well, I've got some just rapid fire questions on that. You know, for somebody that's listening, you know, that's at a high school that they don't have a summer program and they're not used to charging people, like, how did you get that started?
So we had somewhat of a program in place here. So I got lucky at YZ, and we just made it better. Now I helped my kids go to a different school district, and I helped that program out, get it going there. And what we did was I went to the top. I went to the superintendent and talked to him first. And then he kind of gave me this plan. And so what I would do if you're just starting out is go to the sport coaches. Go to the sport coaches, tell them what your plan is and what you want to do, and that you want to bring them in with it. Because that's one of the biggest things that we do here is I bring my sport coaches in, head coaches and assistant, and we coach them up and they get to train. So go to the sport coaches. I also went to the boosters. I also went to the youth programs. I gathered up all the information. I got letters of support saying that they support this mission and this program. And then we created a PowerPoint presentation with financial projections on, you know, a low end year one, high end year one. And so we had a spreadsheet, a PowerPoint presentation, letters of support, and we went and presented at the school board. And it went over well. Now, obviously, I'd had some conversations with some of the school board members prior to going into that meeting. But what all of that is, Coach, all of that is that you need to go out and build relationships with the people that you need to be a part of your program.
Right.
That's the biggest thing. You know, go out, talk to them. Here's what I'd like to do. Here's what I can do for you. What do you need from us? I want to bring you in the mix. You build all those relationships, and then you go to the people that, you know, have some decision-making power. And if you can build relationships with them before you present stuff, it really goes a long way.
Yeah. You, one of the models that you did is you put the money back, you know, you run the money through the school as opposed to running through a business, a side business or anything like that. And that obviously keeps everything transparent.
Yes.
How do you pay your staff? How do you make it so that it's enticing to them, to yourself, for all that work?
Yeah, so everything runs through the athletic office. So my sport coaches, everyone gets paid from our school. And with our sport coaches, we also pay benefits. So it's very enticing to our sport coaches because they're making money for their retirement by running it through here. Right. Everything goes to that high five, or, you know, your last 5 years, your top five salary. So we pay them well. We follow the curriculum writing schedule that's on our contract on, you know, on the district webpage. And it's a sliding scale in terms of hours and, you know, experience. So it's all, you know, kids know that they're going to start making $14 an hour. And then, we're, you know, the next year it's 16 or whatever. You know, we've got the scales for some of our strength coaches and interns. Board coaches know exactly what they're going to make. I pay them that, you know, it's an incentive because they get paid for being here. But it's good business for me because if that sport coach is in the room, he or she is gaining knowledge of how we run our systems. But then those athletes are going to be here too. If they know coaches work in the weight room, those athletes are coming.
Right.
So, you know, we can pay them well. I always tell them you're not going to get rich, but you're not going to be poor. You know, you're going to be making some money for your green fees over the weekend, you know, and you get to work with your kids. So it really is a very mutual beneficial relationship. And then, of course, with purchasing the equipment, our Phi Ed department, basically our high school, is off the hook because they don't have to spend any money because we're buying it. And I know a lot of other coaches have to rent space, like via community education. That's how we do it up here. We don't have to rent our equipment in the summer. We don't pay anything because we bought it. We own it. It's ours.
Yeah, I think that that's a critical piece. Is you gotta. I think the biggest thing that you did there is you created a win-win. You know,
yeah.
It just wasn't you winning by making additional income for yourself, but you spread the wealth. You gave back to the school. You found a way that it makes sense for everybody. And I think sometimes that's the important piece. What do you do with the kids when you're in that situation? I think a lot of people would have the question of you want to be inclusive to everybody. But there's kids that maybe can't even afford the $100 for the summer. You know, what have you done there?
We scholarship. And so what we do is I think it's important to have some skin in the game, you know, for kids to be committed to it. So if the fee, you know, if it's a $100 fee, the first thing we'll do is we'll ask the athlete, can you pay half? And we do have some district forms, basically, you know, because we are a public high school. So there are forms available basically for free and reduced lunch. Plus, we do have, you know, a scholarship program for our athletes as well. And if they can pay half, that's great. If they can't pay half, we ask them to pay a quarter, you know, $25. And if they can pay that, great. And I think, you know, we've talked about this and we've heard a lot of people do similar things. I think in basically 20 years of doing this, there has been a handful of kids that paid zero. I mean, we'd even so much as say $10 for the t-shirt, you know. But so we always just, no one has ever turned away. They're never turned away. We'll never turn away a kid that wants to get better.
I think one of the things I was really impressed with when you presented on this was how it's infiltrated the community. You know, it hasn't just been something that has been within confined to the four walls of the weight room. But I mean, you told a story about, I think, one of the mayors or the congressman or something wearing the summer t-shirt.
Yeah.
I mean, how have you taken that? Because I mean, maybe that happened organically initially, but maybe you're a little bit more intentional about it now. What how has that benefited you, and what are some things that you would recommend other coaches to do to kind of have that type of reach?
Well, we built a relationship with City Hall, and that was because I read an article in the paper in the spring of the year that volunteers were needed to clean up and kind of you know, plant flowers and do some community type work because of there was some funding and there were some cuts. So the city made some cuts, needed some help with some cleanup. We went down and did some cleanup work, and the mayor came out, shook hands, took a couple of pictures, and that was about it. And we kept doing this cleanup. I think, you know, I mean, we're in our 12th year of doing this now in the spring. And a couple of years into it, one of our things with our summer program is we make a big deal about our t-shirts. And the word Wayzata actually is derived from a Dakota word meaning North Shore. So the one summer, and this is because it's Lake Minnetonka, we've got Wayzata sits on a lake here. And I had a whole bunch of t-shirts made up with North Shore. And I took them down to the city hall and said, hey, here's t-shirts for you. It's our summer program. Love to have you wearing them when we're all cleaning up. And geez, that was a big hit. He really liked that. He was out in D.C., later that summer and saw some stuff on our Wayzata Heritage. And he, you know, this, here's a guy, the mayor of Wayzata, taking a picture of our mural out in DC, and he's texting it to me. Yeah. And I thought, wow, I think we're making some impact here a little bit when we start doing that kind of thing. You know, and again, building that relationship.
Well, I think that's, I mean, it keeps going back to it, but, you know, the relationship piece, you know, so many times as a strength coach, you want to be just focused on your clientele or the people that you directly report to. But it's that janitor, it's that secretary, it's, you know, the administration. Those are the people that can have a direct impact on your program, you know? And so you're always, you gotta be on, you always gotta be, and not just on in the fact that you're kind of being fake, but you have to be genuine. And the more people you have a part of the program, the better your program is gonna be.
Absolutely. I learned at a very young age that we'll call it a power hierarchy, you know, with my parents both being teachers, I learned very, very early who to take care of. Because those people are the salt of the earth people. These are the relationships you got to have, because, you know, they can make or break your life. Right now, you know, the first people that get our summer t-shirts around our program are all of the building engineers, all of the lunch ladies. You know, I put them in our shirts. They're my first wave of advertising, because the kids see them in those shirts and they're, oh, that's the summer shirt. All right, I got to remember to sign up for Trojan Power. We got to get going. So I always make sure I take care of those that take care of you. You know, I mean, if my air conditioning is out or the heater is out, yeah, I tell you what, I don't have to wait real long to get some help when I put people on the spot, because, you know, I'm genuinely friends with these people, you know? And like I said, take care of those that take care of you.
Couldn't agree with you more. You know, when we talk about, I get on my soapbox with strength and conditioning about how, honestly, we haven't, in my opinion, we haven't really advanced the profession much from the original strength coaches that went out and created a profession out of anything, you know, out of nothing, you know, where it was thought of to be bad to lift weights, to where now $500,000 a year doing it. And, you know, we got into tactical strength and conditioning. That was something I thought we kind of advanced the profession a little bit. But to me, the number one place, the number one opportunity is to grow strength coaches in the high school level. I mean, how many high schools are there? How many high schools have strength coaches? If I'm a young coach coming out in this profession right now, I'm looking at that as that's my opportunity to become a head strength coach quick and gain experience. And, you know, maybe I love it. Maybe I want to continue to climb, you know, climb that logo ladder or whatever. But there's a lot of schools that don't have strength coaches at this point. And how do we grow this? How do we put a strength coach in every high school?
Well, that's kind of one of my recent missions here. I've been reaching out to a lot of the local colleges and universities. And part of it's because I was getting a lot of emails from people in programs that wanted to find, hey, I want to do what you do. You know, I want to be a strength coach at a high school. And I'll ask these students, college students, all right, you know, what's your degree? Are you getting certified in education? And, you know, more and more of them are not going through the process of education. They're getting certified in Phy-Ed, but not with, you know, a teaching license.
Right.
And so I'm trying to coach up, you know, these college students right now saying, hey, if you want to have a great life and a great career in strength and conditioning, get yourself certified as a teacher. All right. And if you want to do what I'm doing, get certified as a Phy-Ed teacher, go out and get certified as a strength coach, and you can be in a weight room all day, every day.
Right.
And you're right on. There's more high schools and more high school kids. It's out there. And I think advancing the profession with kind of the model that we have going on here that anybody can do anywhere, you know, it's that co-curricular program where you're working within a Phy-Ed department and an athletic department. But the biggest thing that I'm seeing is, at least here in Minnesota, you have to be certified as a teacher. Now, I don't think that's the case around the country. There's other places that I think, you know, they'll pair you up with, say, the head football coach or someone that is a licensed teacher. But if you want to have your pick of the litter and go wherever you want to go, if you're certified as a teacher, you're really setting yourself up to, you know, be ahead of the pack.
Right. Yeah, I think that's a fantastic piece of advice. And I think then, you know, looking at the – nobody's just, you know, a place that doesn't have the funding right now isn't just going to say, okay, well, you're certified as a teacher and you're certified as a strength coach. Now we're going to make it, we're going to create this whole new position. I think a lot of times you got to go and work from within and say, okay, I'm going to go in as a assistant football coach,
yep,
PE teacher. And, oh, by the way, let me run a summer program, you know, let
absolutely
me run an after school program in the off season. Those types of things to show what people don't, you know, I mean, if you're getting by without it, then nobody knows you need it, you know? But if you show them what's capable, what's possible, I think that that's when, you know, now you can start to find resources for it after the fact. Would you agree with that?
I agree 100%. You know, we kind of mentioned how some of these things happen organically. And one of the things I tell people all the time, again, I'm out here in Southwest Minnesota, a lot of farm country. When you start talking about organically, that's when I say be a farmer.
Yeah. You know,
don't worry about the field, right? Be an expert in your field. And if you're a farmer, you go out, like you said, be an assistant coach, start tilling the soil, start planting seeds, literally. You know, yeah, I'm going to run your summer program. Pretty soon, you know, you're working with other coaches, and other coaches or teachers in that building, and they're saying, hey, this is a great coach. We've got to get a position going here. You know, it'll take some time, but that's why when you're young, you got fresh legs. You know, you can do that and build it up, you know, really grow it from within.
Yeah, I agree with you. You're the, I believe you're the, what, the South, the Midwest Regional Director, right, for the NHSSEA?
Correct, yep.
You know, talk to the audience a little bit about, you know, just the organization and the mission.
The NHSSEA has been a long time coming. You know, I mean, there are, like we said, there's all kinds of high schools out there. There are literally thousands of high school coaches out there as well. And the fact that the leadership group got together, and it was one of those things that people said, you know, we really should do this and we really should get this going. It just took that push, and that push got the group going. And the wonderful thing about us as an organization is, basically, you know, the story that we started out with my dad going to that high school and learning, that's us in a nutshell right there.
Yeah.
That is who we are, what we do. We share everything. You know, we're family members. We take care of each other. That organization has united high school strength coaches across the country. It really has. And that Facebook page of ours, if you're not familiar with the NHSSEA, check us out on Facebook. We just went over the 3,000 mark of members on that page, sharing information each and every day.
That's great. Great organization. Great friends are all a part of it and doing some phenomenal things for sure. Man, we end the show with some resources here. Give us the best piece of coaching advice you ever received.
All right, here we go. Again, I'm the farmer. I'm organic. Do what you can with what you have, with where you are.
Love it. Who told you that?
I read it. It's a quote. It's not mine. It's out there. It's just one of those fast pieces of information that wormholed into here, but it's really stuck with me. You know, because if you think about it, if you keep dreaming, oh, I wish I had that. I wish I had that. If only I had that. Those are excuses. Do what you can with what you have, with where you are. Have a dream. Have a 5-year plan, but don't make excuses for what you don't have.
Love it. Give us a book, app, and website recommendation.
I'm reading The Culture Code right now by Dan Croyle. You know, he did The Talent Code, so I'm knee-deep in The Culture Code. I'm loving that. That's my current book that I really like. App or website, I've been using, you know, I'm here in Minnesota, so Cal Dietz is a good friend of ours right down the street. His XL Athlete website has been instrumental for me. In so many things that I've done, as well as other coaches, you know, it's been a big thing. And an app that I use a lot in my weight room is the Coach's Eye. I use that a lot to film kids and draw angles and show stuff on there. It's been a fantastic coaching tool for me.
No, that's great. Well, man, like I said, I think, you know, I have a lot of respect for people that, you know, are great family men that want to make a difference beyond just their four walls of their weight room, like I said, and then make the big time where they're at. And you embody all three of those things and just truly appreciate what you do and how you do it. And more importantly, the fact that you're willing to share that and to give that freely to people be it on a podcast or speaking or things. I mean, those things are those, you know, they, I mean, it's taking time away from your family. When you can do those things, you're, you know, but you're doing it to have that type of reach that we talked off camera about, where, you know, coach can impact more people in 1 year than most people do their whole life. I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, we both believe in that wholeheartedly and just truly appreciate that and what you do in this profession, man.
You know, it's awesome. I love what I do. You know, I really do. And I think I found a groove that, you know, it's not work if you love doing it, you know. And I appreciate you, Ron, for setting these podcasts up and bringing us all together and spreading this. You know, I mean, we've got a lot of great ideas and stuff, but like what it took to get our organization going, you know, sometimes we're not the greatest at sharing our message, you know, other than when you call me, you know what I'm saying, or when someone calls me. So open invitation to Why Zeta High. I'm here all the time. Come and see us whenever. You know, it's snowing in April right now. I apologize. But we're going to make the best of it, right?
It's awesome, man. Thanks so much.
That's it for this episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk. Thanks to this week's guest, as well as our sponsors, for bringing this episode to you for free. Make sure to check out ronmckeefrey.com, where you can join our mailing list, find the show notes, including all the links and resources mentioned, and information about Coach McKeefrey's other products. While you are there, please join Coach McKeefrey in the comments section thanking our guest for sharing. If you haven't subscribed to Iron Game Chalk Talk on YouTube or iTunes yet, make sure to do so. Comments, ratings, and reviews are always welcome. Coach McKeefrey can be found on Twitter at @rmckeefrey. On Facebook and YouTube at @ron.mckeefrey. That's it for this week. Be sure to check back next week for another great episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk.